Welcome to the TEEP podcast. It's brought to you by the State Energy Conservation Office and UH Energy. I'm your host, Gary Gildert. We will bring you the latest in energy efficiency news in 15 minutes or less. In the past couple of weeks, there's been some very interesting events. The first one I want to talk about is Energy Day. Oh, that was a lot of fun. It was at Sam Houston Park. We had all the kiddos out there. It's like, I think there was well over 1,000 kids who came by and came around. We had a really interesting display that we put on. Very proud of it. I've worked with this for about 4 years now. And the kids would pick out their own colors, and we did some distillation demonstrations. The young kids, it looked like magic to them, but they saw that it was science. The older kids, they could relate to it, and they learned a lot. I think it was just a great STEM demonstration, got some kids very interested in. Is lovely. The other event in the last couple of weeks was from the Energy Coalition, their Energy Talk series. Had one of the vice presidents from CenterPoint talking to us, Mr. Akram, a really interesting guy. They talked a little bit, well, it's mainly distribution really is what they do. But I did get into a discussion with him a little bit afterwards on demand side things. You know what? I think we're going to have to get him on the podcast because it was really interesting. It wasn't the main part of his talk, but it was certainly worthwhile for us. There was also a panel discussion last couple of weeks on the future of natural gas. Shim, you were there, weren't you?
Yes, sir, I was. I saw the several discussions that occurred between Jason Lenklos from Louisiana Economic Development and then also Pete Sheffield. He's the VP of External Affairs and Chief Sustainability Officer at Enbridge. And then we had Gina Dorsey, who is the Director of EHS at Kinder Morgan. Her talks were especially my favorite, really learning about the infrastructure involved in that. And then we also had Dr. Ramanathan.
Yeah, I found it quite fascinating as well. My biggest takeaway from that one was the future of natural gas in Texas is big with all of the exports that are going on. That's going to triple over the next few years. Mm-hmm. And what was it, 20 or 30% increase in natural gas demand, mainly due to data centers over the next 10 years as well. Did you get the same thing out of it?
Yes, I did. And one of the things too, I liked that they had an open discussion for Q&A. And some of the questions that people did ask did regard that. Gina Dorsey was the one that I had seen give a great answer to that. Whenever she was asked, you know, what does the future of natural gas look like, especially because she deals with the actual permitting for expanding pipelines into, you know, meeting the global or at least the nationwide demand. And she pointed out that with, you know, things that happen in our political climate, there would be some pushbacks with permitting. Things that would be left behind. So it does create some tension with it, but you know, we've been able to still meet up with or keep up with the demand as it grows.
Fantastic. You know, that's a good segue to something new that I did last week. I went to the Society of Petroleum Engineers annual technology conference and exhibition. It's a new thing for me. And one of the interesting parts is they were echoing the same things that you heard at the natural gas symposium, that there is growth. One of the most interesting comments I caught on that was in a panel discussion, this one person bemoaning that the demand for energy has been so flat for the last decade due to energy conservation efforts. It was very interesting just to see how they looked at our industry overall and what our efforts are. And I patted myself on the back for the great work that we've been doing on that. But they also saw the great demand for energy over the next decade due to, again, the data centers and the growth there. Those were a lot of interesting events. And there's some interesting events coming up in the next few weeks as well. On November the 12th, the Energy Coalition is putting on the second of their Energy Talk series, Carbon Management Across Energy Sources. That should be a good one. It's here on campus. On November the 17th at our Sugarland campus, and it's also available on Zoom, Energy in Action Seminar Series. There's a vice president from Google who's going to be speaking at that.
That's interesting.
I think that could be quite interesting. I hope people start talking to them about what are they doing in these data centers and is there something they can do to make them a little bit more efficient as well?
Absolutely, yeah.
Some of the papers you've been looking at and writing about as well have to do with those data centers. See, here's one of my favorites I participated in last year. November the 21st and 22nd at the Student Center South is the Cougs for Energy Hackathon. Teams of students are given a project, and they literally have a day to come up with an idea. It was a lot of fun. I was mentoring it last year, and I think I'm on tap to do that again this year. And of course, there's always the SPEER webinars, and you can get links to that on our website as well. Okay, next on tap, Hisham, let's talk about hydrogen. It's a really hot topic. It is so necessary in chemical and refining processes. A lot of talk about using it as the fuel of the future. Help us understand it a little bit more.
Yeah, so in our upcoming newsletter, we do plan to talk about hydrogen in more detail, but just a basic rundown and summary.
Okay, and please tell us about all these colors.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The different colors of hydrogen are important to differentiate because the different colors of hydrogen tell us how we made it and how it came to be. Understanding the difference between the efficiency of each one is crucial for sustainability because there's so many options that we have to us. We have to be able to pick which is the right one for a certain reason. The different colors of hydrogen do include gray, blue, green, turquoise, yellow, white, pink. There's so many other ones that get into more specific shades that define more specifically how the hydrogen is made. But among all these types of hydrogen, the most common one is gray hydrogen produced from syngas. And then we have another up-and-coming one, such as yellow hydrogen, which is involving electrolysis, where you break apart water, which is not an easy task to do. But you break apart water, and you get hydrogen and then oxygen. But, of course, we want that hydrogen. And then another challenge among all of these colors of hydrogen, no matter what, is the storage and utilization, which becomes an energy efficiency problem. Whether this hydrogen is used for energy or it's used as a reactant or another process.
Okay, going back to these colors of hydrogen, I'm really glad you're going to be writing all this up in the next newsletter. But the one that's confusing that you mentioned earlier to me before the episode was this white hydrogen.
White hydrogen can be a byproduct of any industrial process, but it can also be a naturally occurring form of hydrogen found underground. So almost like a natural gas deposit. An interesting definition. I feel like they should have maybe defined it as two separate colors, but they do define it as the same thing.
Yeah, well, let's try to publish our definitive list in the newsletter.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll go into detail about efficiency or the cost to economics, but then as well as the energy demand for each scenario. And does it make sense to even, if you're going to use all this energy to make the hydrogen, does it make sense to even use this hydrogen as an energy source?
It sounds like it's going to be a two-parter for the newsletter. So
yeah,
good stuff. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, next up we have Carla, and it sounds like it's been a frustrating couple of weeks for you. I tasked you with looking for some good articles on energy efficiency, industrial. What did you find?
Yeah, I've read about a dozen articles or so, and in each of these articles, the science behind them is fascinating. The novel technology, it's really something to look at, but the techno-economical and the energy analysis is so-and-so.
That sounds disappointing and promising at the same time.
Yeah, really both the technical performance and the costs, including the capital and operating expenses, are important, and they should be talked about in these types of articles.
Absolutely. As engineers, we're chemical engineers, but as engineers, costs matter. And I would expect to see, if anyone's touting improved processes, yeah, the science is important. It's got to be right. But the capital cost and the operating costs have to be provided with some detail. That one article.
Yeah, it was like 5 pages long, and the techno-economical analysis was about three sentences, a short paragraph. What,
was it even three sentences?
What do you think of the Aspen analysis and the 15-year lifespan?
Well, I don't know how they can possibly say 15 years, but you know, maybe that's an average. But and as much as I respect the work that went into Aspen, I've used their economic analysis in the past because it is solid. But come on, a brand new process with never heard before electrodes, Aspen, as good as it is, it's not going to have an accurate cost estimate for that. You have to do that separately. And I think that's what should be done. So we're not going to name that article because I don't want to embarrass them. I don't want them to push back on us. But really, if you're going to, right from the abstract, they talked about a more efficient process than current technology. And they did not go anywhere near proving that. That's disappointing. And you saw that on other articles too, I think.
Yeah. I think it's really important to talk more about the techno-economical analysis because we need these to prioritize our research efforts and guide the process optimization and compare it to the alternative production strategies.
Absolutely. So you've got your work cut out for you, Carla, because we need to come up with some of this. But you did find some good information on methanol. So that's going to be coming up in a, maybe not the next newsletter, but the one after that. I think the two of you have to duke it out to see who's going to be on tap next.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you for listening to our latest podcast. It's brought to you by the State Energy Conservation Office of Texas and the Media Lab here at the University of Houston. Thanks to Carla and Hisham, our interns, and I'm your host, Gary Gildert, bringing you the latest in industrial energy efficiency in 15 minutes or less.